Hello, Mr. Tadius Young. Thank you for your time. I know this is you got plenty to do, especially since it's the off season. Maybe the first question would be like, how are you doing? How is the off season going? What's up?
Doing great. Off season is really good for the most part. It's more so just basically just me like handling my business and then training early in the morning. Like get up at 5 a.m. start my training. It usually goes to like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and then I get on my computer and start working. And then now my kids they're playing pretty much every weekend. They play AAU basketball now, so just starting to travel and move around with them. We just came back from San Antonio. So they had a tournament. They finished second. And my youngest son, he his team didn't place, but he played very well. So just be happy to be kind of be around the family and just basically just kind of hang out a little bit.
You went to Georgia Tech. I've seen that you like one post from Jar Jack that one of my friends used to like, especially since he's a New York boy. Going into that period of your time, when were your main focus when you accepted the offer?
Main focus was at that point in time was basically to go and get a great into a great academic atmosphere, get a 4-year degree. Obviously, like I knew I did play basketball, and I knew I probably wasn't gonna be there for the whole 4 years, but just in case something happens, you always got to have something to piggyback on, right? So going to Georgia Tech was a believable ex unbelievable experience. It was amazing. It's a really really good opportunity for me to not only be a Yellow Jacket, but also to learn so much in a short period of time and become a great businessman, the person who can be able to walk all realms of life.
Can you explain to us a little bit? Because as our European people, we don't gather a lot of information when it comes to NCAA regular stuff. And when I talk personally with my friends, they don't exactly know what D1 athletes are especially about. So can you explain to us how they prepare you to the big stage?
Yeah, I mean, in college, when you get there, like you're being prepared to, in basketball, from a basketball setting, be prepared to be a pro. So you're doing rigorous training each and every day. You're, doing a bunch of the hard activity that a lot of people are not accustomed to. That's putting you in a position to be successful. And then all of those qualities and stuff that they're instilling in you, they lead into the business side of things as well, into from the boardroom to the court, or from the court to the boardroom. So, but the difference between, I would say, like a smaller tier college and a higher tier college, like you have the JUCOs, you have the NAIAs, you have the D2s, and then you have the D1s. And the D1 is obviously the upper echelon of schools, and you have the D3s, and you have all the different levels, and as the levels go up, the competition gets better, and then you have some guys who they don't make it to a D1 college because they don't have enough grades, and they can't meet the eligibility requirements and stuff like that. So but there's some really good ball players, some really good people, some really good individuals in all realms. And when you look at it and you look back at it, a degree is a degree. That means you got your education and you completed your 4 years and you did what you're supposed to do, and now it's time to walk at that next path in life.
As everybody know, you got every month or every week one draft board when you get like one idea of if this one or this one we get draft higher. How would you assess, especially 50 years ago, the importance of education in the NCAA, especially since a small number of people will make it?
I mean, I look at education as one of the biggest parts, just for the simple fact of like you need it in order to excel in life, right? But for me, like I was blessed and fortunate enough to leave school after 1 year. But the one thing I didn't stop doing was educating myself. Even though I left Georgia Tech after my first year, I still finished my degree, took it a step further, and also got my master's degree. So, education is always going to be a huge component of what we do and how we build our success and how we become successful. Just for the simple standpoint of like, you have to have knowledge and you have to have education in order to be able to do things in life. And that education and knowledge stop you from going through the bumps and bruises of life because you're able to, now articulate or, or delegate how you want to kind of, go about life, right? So for me, the education component was always huge. My father was a teacher. My mother was very, very tough on me about going to school. And, I'm blessed and fortunate enough to have people in my family who really educated themselves to be able to teach me how to do certain things and teach me, this is how you should do things. This is how it needs to be done. This is what you shouldn't be doing. And it also piggybacks on the fact that, you have a brain of your own, right? So with having a brain of your own, it puts you in a situation where you're basically saying, hey, should I be doing this or should I be learning this? And then one of the biggest things that I also learned, throughout the course of time, from college and being in the league, is that, you have enormous amount of resources. And that's not saying, millionaires and stuff that's coming to the game and stuff like that you have to lean on. But I'm saying from the standpoint of we have the internet, we have the web, we have Google, we have Yahoo, we have all these different verticals that we can tap into that will show us and give us the provided information, give us the information that we need, through those verticals to where we continuously learn and continuously build our brain and build our knowledge.
At that time, when you were young, did you feel that going to the NBA was only a step in your career?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, like that's like the ultimate goal, right, for an athlete, right, to make it to the highest level. But for me, like I always tell people all the time, like yeah, I'm in the NBA, but like I'm not just an NBA basketball player. I'm a businessman that happens to know how to play basketball really, really good. And that's how I kind of go about things in life. Like I try to, put the business side and the real life stuff first before I put the basketball stuff. Obviously, like I continue to excel at my job and do what I do, but I'm in a situation now where, like we're not living real life. I can't play in the NBA for the rest of my life, right? I use the NBA to, create all these different scenarios to where I can be successful in life. And, I think that's what I've been able to do really well is to use the NBA a great gig and become the person that I want to be in life. And, it's been really good for me so far.
Going on in the NBA first, you get the chance to be one great rookie with a stacked team in the 76ers. How would you say is the importance of mentorship?
I think that's huge, like especially with the league that we're in now today. The league is only getting younger, and it's still going to continue to get younger each and every day. So, each and every year, because there's 60 new guys coming in each and every year to take somebody else's job, right? So, with the league continuously getting younger, I think mentorship is like a huge key component of building, great players and great teams and great league. So, I had the benefits of playing with guys like Andre Iguodala, Luce Williams, Elton Brand, Theo Ratliff, Danielle Marshall, Sam Dellenberg, Kevin Ollie, Andre Miller was our, I had the Willie Green, who's now a coach in the league. Like I had a with have and some really good veterans kind of, I can and the list goes on. Significant to the development and the growth of Thaddeus Young, right? So, playing with those guys put me in a position to where I can, now go into my fifth season or my fourth season and be, you know, one of the key guys that people kind of lean on as a veteran, you know, as a young veteran, you know, a leader, somebody who has a foundation and somebody who people look up to and somebody who people respect. And that's still to this day, you know, people, you know, I'm now going into my 17th season and people are, you know, they respect me because like I'm an OG in the game. You know, I've done so many different things. I played so many different players. I played against great players. You know, and I think early on in my career, I got a chance to be battle tested early on, and I, you know, in those battles, I held my own in those battles. So, you know, that creates a lot of respect within your teammates. There's plenty of times where I could have sat down, and I decided to play and stuff like that. Just, you know, it just great. And mentorship that came through, like the mentorship of like all those guys that came before me, and it was like lending a helping hand. I would definitely say this, like one of the biggest parts of like kind of like helped me like groom myself into like being a basketball player on both sides of the basketball was a guy named Reggie Evans. He did a phenomenal job of playing hard each and every day, making sure that his presence was felt, like he was rebounding the basketball, speaking and being vocal, taking care of the young fellas and stuff like me, and always talking to us and giving us that advice that was needed, and just showing us like what it takes to continuously be a pro. And I think that really put us put me in a really good situation, and it changed my mindset about, you know, how I looked at things and perspective wise, and it put me in a position to where I can now say, hey, I'm in my 17th year in the NBA.
I think that nowadays people don't respect the bench player, especially where you bring up Reggie Evans. I think that most of the people that don't really follow NBA don't know about Reggie Evans, but you can see him every time when you are watching games, like screaming or talking to people on the side and everything. I didn't thought about this question, but could you like being really a little bit precise about their role during the preseason of the mini camp, for example, because we feel like, for example, Udonis Haslem now with the Miami Heat, we don't really appreciate as outside fan, non-NBA media, or we don't really know really much about when they bring out, especially to young people.
Yeah, so like, yeah, like preseason, it's more so like in the summer, actually. So like in the summer, like you get a chance to, you know, see guys at summer league, and you get put with vets, and those vets are the ones who kind of start helping you, help groom you and stuff like that, giving you the tricks of the trade, just showing you how, like, you know, to kind of like move forward. And you have a lot of conversations with those vets. Like me, I used to always have conversations with Elton Brand, and me and him sit next to each other on the plane. And he would just provide me with such a wealth of knowledge that would put me in a position to be great and successful each and every time. And another guy that I used to sit next to on the plane was Tony Petit. And he did a phenomenal job of just being a solid vet, making sure that, like, you know, he was teaching us the right things and showing us the right ways. And, you know, and then you get a chance to watch, like, these guys, like, in real time, right? So when you're watching them in real time and how they approach the game and their regiments and stuff like that, it really gets you in the mindset of, okay, I need to get me a regiment. Like, I need to get me a pattern. I need to get me, you know, my thing that I do to get myself prepared, focused for games or for a season or, you know, for a summer league game or whatever it is, right? And those guys were, like, really, really good, like, role models to kind of watch because they did the same thing every single time, like every single time for the games. I would watch, like Elton Brand, I would watch him. It's like he had a shrine in front of his locker, and he would put down a towel. And after he put down his towel, he would like a portable stem unit. He would pull out his portable stem unit. He would drink a cup of coffee before the game. He would, you know, pull out like a bottle of like his energy drink. You know, and then he would do like other little small certain things like stretch, you know, get a small lift in. He would do a bunch of stuff before the game that would, like, I would recognize, okay, this is what get him going. Like, I need to find what gets me going. And then I would start doing a little small stuff. And then that small stuff translated to me, now, turning that into my own thing. And then other guys started watching me, and then they started creating their own habits. So it's just, you get a chance to watch some of these guys and how they're trying to approach the game. And then you start to see, okay, he's been successful. Like, maybe I should start doing this. And then it puts you in that position. So most of the time, it's not really just the talks. It's more so just kind of sitting back and watching the atmosphere and then seeing how you can incorporate what some of these guys are doing into your life to make your life much easier.
And is it the same thing when you approach the Venturi Capitalis Awards? When you get all these events, when you meet people, even in the NBA backstage, when you get to see how these businessmen can work, and you tend to find your own way.
I mean, for like business, like a lot of the stuff that you do business wise, like it translates over to the basketball court. A lot of things that you do on the basketball court translates over to the business side. So, from the basketball court, like, you get camaraderie, you get leadership, you get learn how to work with others, like team building. Like, all those translate over into the business side. Paying attention, understanding, comprehension. Like, all of this stuff translates over to the business side. And it's the same thing. Like, it's like you're watching game tape, right? That's like, So in business, we call it due diligence. So you're looking at every single thing that a company has or a company is doing to make an educated decision how you want to approach them as a person that either wants to invest into their company or wants to do a partnership deal with them, right? It's the same thing with like being on a team. Like, your opponent, you're looking at your opponent and you're like studying them. I have to understand what they're doing. I have to understand, the concepts of what they're doing. And if they call something out, I know it now. So now I can go out and I know how to approach it. So it's the same thing. Everything goes from the court to the boardroom. And a lot of people don't understand that. But I think, like, athletes who go into business, they're successful because they take a lot of the stuff that they learned on the basketball court and translate it into the boardroom.
What about setbacks? Because, like, as a fan who watch a lot of sports in general, it seems like when we tend to think about business, it's just numbers. When we talk about athletes or in sport in general, it's a lot about emotion. So how do you manage, like, setbacks or failure as a businessman and as an athlete?
I think, like, for the most part, you just, like, you have to, like, figure out how not to mix your emotions with the business side of things, right? And then another thing, too, is, like, yeah, we're playing basketball. It's going to be a super emotional thing. But you have to learn how to control those emotions throughout the midst of the situations that's happening. Yeah, and I'm really good at controlling my emotions. Sometimes it's going to be, it gets out there a little bit, but I think I do a really good job of just controlling it and just staying even keel. Because that's one of the biggest things. You want to stay kind of like even in balance. Balance is always going to be key throughout any process. And that's the same way. It's like one of those transition things as well for like business to the boardroom or from the court to the boardroom or from the boardroom to the court. Like, if you have that balance and that foundation that's set, then the setbacks that you do have, you'll learn how to pivot from those setbacks and turn them into like some positive roads.
So is it basically the way you drive your way through like the different world you had during your career?
So like me, when I'm going through something, I try to just find balance and continue to trust and keep faith in the work, right? Like, the work that I put in to get to this point in life or in my career or in business, like it wasn't for nothing. Like, I've gotten here for a reason. So if I continue to trust in that work and continue to trust in what like has gotten me to this point, it's not gonna spare me wrong now. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's always about continuing to trust in the process that has put me in this place and put me in a situation that I am in. and trusting the process that's gotten me to a point where I have been successful. You're going, like I said, you're going to, everything's not going to be perfect. You're going to have bumps and you're going to have bruises. But at the end of the day, if you know how to, stay patient through those bumps and bruises and wait and not waver and, learn how to navigate, you'll be fine.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the game in general, because I think that our fellow students want to know more about your perspective about the game in general. We were talking about Philadelphia. What's it like doing, like playing in this division? Like the Atlantic, you got pretty stacked team. Even now with Toronto, you got Philadelphia, you got Boston. People don't like us, but whatever. You got New York. Like, what's it is like getting to play in front of those really strange fans, let's say?
For me, for the most part, I look at every game as like another basketball game. And it's going to be allocated. It's another competitive opportunity to go out there and showcase who I am as a player, or another competitive opportunity to go out there and just play basketball and have fun. But I do think that, you do have like some things that like where, it is a bit more competitive in certain divisions and conferences than others. Typically, when I first came to the league, the Western Conference was the more supreme conference, right? But the East is like came along, and like now it's pretty much even. And then you have the different divisions, and the different divisions like you look at the Atlantic and the Central, those are like prime, right? So like you look at those divisions and you're like, man, we got this team in here, we got this team in here, but I've had a lot of battles being in Atlantic for a long time, playing in Philly, playing in Brooklyn, playing in Toronto now. Like being in Atlantic is a whole different ballgame, because all those teams have been good in the past years, so it's been really good.
The reason also why I'm bringing up the Atlantic division is for your position, you used to have like a lot of challenges. Like, and I'm not only talking about KG or what you had Boozer, but basically at your position, they were pretty stacked. Every team was pretty stacked. And I'm bringing that because also at the time when you were a rookie, like the game was more physical, at least for my perspective. So, how did you manage to work on some of the craftiness of your game, being more physical as a player? Like you were always running a lot, but you were also able to maintain your position.
I think this is more so just like being versatile, being able to understand the different positions. And then also like one of the earlier adopters of like the hybrid position, right? So like being able to play multiple positions, but also being able to do multiple things on the court. So I think that's what kind of like helped me, was like I was one of the early adopters of being a hybrid, like coming into the league at 6'8", 215, 220 pounds. They're typically like small forwards in the league, not power forwards, right? And sometimes shooting guards. So for me, like being able to kind of like find my niche and find like what makes me be able to kind of stay on the court, like I think that's what put me in a position to stick around for a long time. And it's the same thing, like I was kind of like one of the guys in the league, before we started to transition to this equal opportunity league or this position, this basketball, we was already kind of doing that with the Sixers, like positionless basketball where, I can be the three sometimes, I might be the four sometimes, and then I might have to go bump down the center, and the same thing with like Andre Iguodala, and I think at that time we had like Rodney Carney, Willie Green, Cal Clover, and all those guys. So all those guys were like interchangeable positions. So with being an interchangeable position, it really put us in a situation to where like we was like one of the early adopters of that.
Like, how did you manage, like, from season to season to gather more scoring goals?
I don't think it was difficult for the simple fact of like, I was a person that never needed the ball in my hands to make a play or to score. I was one of those guys that like, okay, you shoot it, I will get a rebound and put it back in, or I'll do all the hustle plays and all that stuff. So like, it wasn't really difficult. It was just more so like just like the energy that I brought to the game is what really put me in a really good situation with my teammates. Because the one thing about like me was like, I never was the one to say, hey, I need the ball this many times before. I was always the one like, okay, like I do whatever it takes for us to win the basketball game, even if it means I have to take less shots and figure out some other way. But some kind of way the ball always kind of found me because like I just put myself in a position to where I can score the basketball, where I was like not more so killing myself on the offensive side, and was able to kind of like put everything out on the defensive side. But offensively, I would just put myself in a position to where I can out hustle the guy, or I can get a rebound and get us an extra possession, or or I could beat my guy who's sometimes most of the time slower than me. So it just really put me in a position to where I can just do the things that I do as a player.
How would you say is it important for NBA pundits, like normally, and especially for fan, to gather what's really going on during a game and during an offensive phase?
Well, the one thing about like the media, they can help you get paid, or they can kill you so where you don't get paid. So, for me, I've always just like I said, trusted my work. But, I think one of the biggest things is like us as basketball players, we try not to pay attention to the media side of things. We try to pay attention to more so, like letting our game kind of speak for itself, and then just going from there. Trusting our faith in our work, trusting in what we put into the game. Because the one thing about it is that like the media doesn't validate who we are as people or who we are as players. Yeah, they're there and they're paid to do their job. They're paid to do certain things like, kill us on the internet or kill us on a telecast or praise us or make us better on the telecast. But those are the things that we can't worry about because they're uncontrollable situations. And the one thing about like us or like where like me is like I don't care about all of that. Like I care about going out there and doing my job to its entirety and making sure that we win a basketball game because that's what's gonna at the end of the day, that's what's gonna make you successful. That's what's gonna make you get paid. And if you're winning basketball games, then none of that stuff matters.
But as a basketball fan, don't you think it's a little bit sad that, like, especially now, people like we used to know a lot about every player on the roster. Like you can name me any player. I will say, guys, could do that, do that, do that. Like today, nobody knows shit about anyone. Or they're just like, yeah, he's good with stretching the game. Oh, we can pass it the ball. He can like. Even like we used to have, you used to, yeah, the NBA used to have like special player for specific task. Today's, like, I don't hear a lot about those specific role player. So don't you think it's a little bit sad, especially when you compare with the NFL when every
We
position
are a
gets some recognition?
star-driven league. So, with us being a star-driven league, we want to create stars, and that's who teams and the media and everybody's gonna push. It used to be a huge commodity on having the role players. Now it's not so much. Let's find our next stars. Either to be our 2 or 3 stars, and then after these 2 or 3 stars, like we'll just fill the spots in and then go there. But there's no validation on that aspect of the game anymore. Some teams may still do it, but for the most part, there's not as much.
Are there any talk between NBA players about that subject?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it a lot, but from a standpoint of like guys want to be, you know, they want to be paid for their services. So yeah, there's gonna be a lot of talking about it and stuff like that. They're gonna and we want full value for what we bring to the team and what we think we bring to the team. And I think that's one of the biggest things as well. Like a lot of people don't understand that aspect of it. Like, you know, when a player is asking for a certain amount of money or he's asking for certain things, that's because, you know, he's put all his time, he's put a bunch of stuff into the team, and he feels that, you know, he should be paid for them services that he's put in. You know, it's about, you know, what have you done for me lately, right? And if you've done a lot for me lately, then why am I not being, you know, paid for those services? Or why do I have to go and argue for the money that I already deserve? You know, so those are the different things that, you know, people kind of look at and people kind of talk about. But, you know, for the most part, it's a lot of money to be made in the league. It's a lot of things that can be done. It's a lot of successful people. You know, it's a lot of people that's making a great living. You know, we're all making a great living. Everybody's making over $1 million. So, but at the end of the day, it's a star-driven league, and, it's one of those leagues that, yes, they know that they need role players, but I think the value of that aspect of it is kind of going down a little bit because everybody's trying to solidify, oh, we want 2 or 3 stars on this team, and that's it. We're going to pay whatever to get them. And then now everybody else is kind of taking pennies to, you know, join those 2 or 3 stars, right?
So, hello. And my big question is, as a former Sixer, how do you feel about the process?
So, I mean, the process is, like, I feel great, like, about the process. Like, I think the process is always something that you have to go through. It's something that, you know, is being put out there for you to see if you can fight through adversity, see if you can, you know, stay determined and motivated. You know, so, you know, I enjoy the process. I enjoy everything about it. You know, it's put me in a position to where I can go.
How do you find the balance between your personal life and NBA?
Just having a schedule. For me, like, I wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, start working out, try to get all my workouts done early so I can, like, handle the business that I need for a couple hours a day. And then by noon, 1, 2 o'clock, like, I'm, you know, hanging out with my family and enjoying my day.
Question: what did you like the most doing your studies?
Nothing.
What did you like the least during your studies?
Everything.
What is your main weakness?
Reading books. So, like, reading, like, big books that have like 200 or 300 pages. I'm more so of a knowledge grabber from, like, Google or, like, contracts and, like, magazines and stuff like that, like small excerpts.
What's your favorite quality in a person?
The ability to listen and comprehend.
What would you like to have as a gift of nature?
That's a good question. A breeze. Wind.
What do you appreciate most in your friends?
Loyalty.
What is your first thing you do when you wake up?
Brush my teeth, wash my face, go to the bathroom.
What would you be your dream of happiness?
Just my family.
What's your greatest passion of state of work?
Hanging out with my family.
What advice would you give to someone who is starting?
Just listen, soak in knowledge, be a sponge.
Who is your favorite fictional hero?
I don't really have one.
What has been your greatest inspiration?
My parents.
If you could send a message to yourself at 18, what would it be?
Same thing. Listen, soak in knowledge, be a sponge.
Your favorite words?
Dedication, motivation, okay. Opportunity, focus.
And yes.
Thank you. All right, y'all. Have a good day.
You too.